I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Junktime AFL Podcast, round 13, 2019. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who furiously walked out of the premiere of the film Rocket Man. It's Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. You know, I love going to the movies.
I love it.
I get my big bucket of popcorn. I get my big Coke. You know, because I'm doing very well. I'm happy to pay for both.
We were talking about the Goodsy film the other day. You loved it.
Yeah, it was great. So I go to see Rocket Man. Mm-hmm. Not one mention of his whole career at Hawthorn or the Brisbane Bears.
Yep.
They didn't even talk about his coaching career, like Swans, Bulldogs, Suns.
That didn't come up.
He was even like the overseer at Collingwood for a little while. None of that was mentioned. Some guy singing songs that I'd never heard of.
Bloody disgrace. Were they team songs? Were they at least in a huddle?
No,
were
they weren't.
Gatorade going around?
No Gatorade khakis at all. I was disgraced. Like, if you're going to do a movie about Rocket, then have the man. You didn't even look like him.
Yeah.
He had this weird wig on. Rocket never had a wig.
Pay proper respect to the man, surely.
Yeah. I was disappointed, mate, so I stormed out.
Hey, we're going to bring on a very special guest.
Yes.
He hasn't joined us for a while. St Kilda fan, Paul Collegia. How are you, man?
Yeah, great. Great to be here, guys. Yeah.
Big win by the Saints.
Celebrating that win all night, I was. That 4-point falling over the line against the Gold Coast.
Mate, you've done that twice this year.
There's just no joy in watching those games. Like, it's excruciating, to be honest.
St Kilda's done the hard yards too. You're in Shanghai and then you're in Townsville.
Yeah. Well, they say we're in Shanghai. I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist. I think it's like the moon landing. I think they faked that whole game. I think it was somewhere in Gippsland that they filmed
it. It was a very pretty ground at Townsville.
Well, it had a nice background, didn't it?
Didn't it?
You could see the hinterland in the background.
Yeah, it looked like a fun place to go. Do you ever think about going up there to watch a game?
Never. But it's weird watching games at those venues because they don't feel like real AFL games.
It's got the JLT feel to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it looks like a practice match. And the standard of the game just reinforced that, I think. It wasn't a great game.
But you did come back from about 30-odd points down. You've got to be happy with that.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Happy-ish.
Reflecting on it today, I'm very happy. I'm happy. I'll take that.
Do you think Rich will be your coach next year?
I think he might just survive. I mean, we're one game out of the eight.
Yeah, you're knocking on the door. Yeah.
Even though our odds for the premiership are still 501-1.
I'd get on that.
Right, and we're
if you get Hanbury in, anything could happen.
Yeah. Well, then the odds will come down, obviously. But I think you can get 11-1 for us to make the eight, and we're one game out of the eight. And I reckon we've got at least 6 or 7 winnable games in the last 10.
You're not making the eight, mate.
Yeah. I wouldn't waste that money if I was you.
I just needed a little bit of support, boys. But,
what about Shanghai?
I love the reality check.
Do you like the idea that they're going to Shanghai?
I love it. Shanghai, Townsville, take our games as far away from me as possible. it's fantastic. Yeah, look, I can't believe we spent months and months training in a heat room.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, you did, didn't you? In preparation.
Yeah, to go over there and get done by 70 points, you know? Yeah.
Well, and also, what they should have done is, as well as, you know, training in the heat room, is giving them, like, fucking dodgy water.
Yeah.
You know, getting them used to...
Oh, get them prepared for the food poisoning.
Yeah, have them get... If you go over there, you're like, oh, fuck, this is nothing to what we gave ourselves back in Melbourne, those prawns we ate.
Do we know why they got sick yet? Do we know...
I think it was water.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Is Shanghai water dodgy?
You know what? I think every country's water is dodgy except for ours.
Yeah, sure.
You know how in Thailand they're always like, oh, don't drink the water there. When I'm in the shower, my mouth's just open all the time.
Yeah. I remember
just catching it, spitting it back out, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I shouldn't be doing this.
I remember in Bali for that wedding a few years ago that we all went to.
Yeah.
And I just absentmindedly started cleaning my teeth, and I was like, just trying to get rid of it. But we got crooked, didn't we?
We both got crooked. And I got sick on New Year's Eve. You remember that, Collegi?
I remember that very well. Yes.
And the worst thing was that the fireworks started about 1 p.m. The dogs were going ballistic, so it was like 12 hours of hell.
Yeah, I think we shared a salad and we both got The Barley Belly.
Yes, no, because remember we got we bought burgers and they had like lettuce in them.
Yeah, gotcha. And there was, I remember when I got to the reception, because everyone said don't drink the water when you get there.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, this is a travel show. This get away with that. But I remember they gave me a commemorative drink, some kind of fruity drink. I don't know really what it was.
Yeah.
And they're like, drink, drink. And I'm like, I'll get onto it. And they're like, no, drink, drink, drink. And I'm like, well, I'll drink it in my room. They're like, drink, drink. And I'm like, pour it out the water. Anyway.
Well, I didn't get sick because I listened to all the warnings as opposed to you guys.
Yeah, that's good. It's good thinking. Just stick to the Bintang, mate. Yes. Can't go bloody wrong.
You can't. I was showering in Bintang.
Yeah.
I didn't want any water going through the pores of my skin.
Quick question. How much of a low dog is Ben Stratton?
I don't think he can get much lower.
Yeah.
Ben Stratton. He's really covered himself in the opposite of glory.
So he's been referred immediately to the tribunal.
Yes.
So that happened on Monday or Tuesday. I'm not sure. Totally sure.
Tuesday that'll be.
Yeah.
I believe mainly for misconduct charges. Would that be right?
Yeah, for the pinching. And then he stomped on Sean McKernan's foot as well. Have you seen that, Khalid?
Yeah, I saw that footage.
I reckon that's worse.
Yeah, it was worse. Yeah, yeah.
So because they're in a push and shove and someone gets pushed back on him and stands on his foot. And so he just retaliates by stomping on McKernan's foot. You can't do that with...
Right. I don't know where he's getting those ideas from, the pinching and the stomping. He's obviously been watching some Three Stooges movies before games or whatever.
Well, he's been watching your mate Stevie Baker, because that's what Stevie Baker would do. So he'd do the pinching, but also he said that one of his tactics was to punch people in the arm in the same spot.
Yeah.
So gradually you can eventually get a dead arm. So that's what he was doing. He was punching in the arm.
That's what he did to Charlie Cameron of Brisbane a few weeks ago. Mm. What do you think as a Hawthorn supporter? Like, do you think, because Kane Corns came out and said he should be stripped of the captaincy
for a week,
and I think that's ridiculous. He should be stripped of his Australian passport.
Yeah, sure.
He'll be made to go back from where he's from.
Should be not allowed to DJ at Revolver for at least 3 weeks.
Yeah, no, really. Or else he has to.
It's probably a crueler suspension for Strats.
No, he can DJ, but he has to play horses.
Yeah, sure.
And Nutbush on a loop.
They take away his craft beer company for him for a few weeks.
Yeah, he can't. Yeah, because he's a hipster. You know what? If someone pinched a noble boy, his beer, I'm sure he wouldn't be fucking happy about that, would he?
Yeah, they it was pretty dodgy, I reckon. Yeah. It's not a great look for one thing, but also it's just, if you feel like the kind of player, he doesn't really need to do that too. Yeah.
Well, I didn't think he was of that ilk.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't actually mind the punching on the arm. Actually, the pinching kind of a bit more pathetic.
Yeah, it wasn't a good look. I mean, did you see the bruises on Fantasia's arm?
Yeah.
Afterwards. He looked like a junkie. He would not be out of place in Victoria Street. Like, his family and friends are probably organising an intervention as we speak.
What do you reckon? A fine or a week or two?
Look, I reckon he might get a week for
the stomp. I reckon he might get a week. Yeah, for sure. I reckon he'll get a week and a big fine.
But also, you know what? The umpires have a goal umpire came out and talked to him about that.
Razor Ray came and talked to him, and he was leaning on Razor Ray as well.
He was pushing him.
He was.
Greg Williams got what?
He got 8 weeks for that. Yeah, that went to court.
Yeah. And didn't players last year get in trouble for doing almost identical things last year with umpires? Remember Stephen May did it when he was at the Gold Coast. Mm-hmm. I think he rested his beer on the umpire's shoulder. And he had to go. I think they just said it was a reprimand or something. Don't do it again. But, you know, you can't do that. I just don't know why the umpires, they had the chance, pay a fucking free kick
and
end it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
But it sort of goes with, you know, Hawthorn were always unsociable, but they did it in a, you know, in play, and I think people were okay with that. And now that you just turned into low dog off the play.
Well, in a way, they kind of almost did it to your face, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was the thing about it. Yeah. They didn't do it behind your back.
Yeah.
But they were horrible on Friday. It was an awful game to watch. And it
did
was,
you go?
Horrible. No, I didn't. No, I had a sad day on Friday, so I didn't go. But it was horrible. Like, it was just like nothing happening. Like, they were just rabble. Yeah. So there's actually a lot of questions to be asked at Hawthorn at the minute. I'm not jumping off at him, but there are a lot of questions to be asked, considering the number of people who kind of leave at the end of the year and who you're going to replace those people with.
So what I'm hearing is a downturn for Hawthorn is coming.
Yeah. Well, it could be.
Fuck, this is great.
Remember the last one? It lasted like a year. that was it.
Well, that's the thing. We had 2017 in the dark days and we got top four last year. Yeah. Well, fifth in the end. But yeah, they're not showing a great deal at all, particularly seeing Friday was a big game against the enemy. And then also it was like crucial to kind of, you know, keep our season going. So they're in a rut.
What are you going to do for forward line? Because why would you drop that Mitchell Lewis guy and not bring Ruffy in and not have a forward? Like, why was he out of the team? That just seemed really strange.
Yeah, you got to talk to Clarko. Yeah, like, I mean, the idea, I mean, imagine at the minute is to have Mitchell Lewis just try to solidate himself as that big forward.
Is it time to get rid of Clarko?
Look, the Bongo... the jungle drums are
the bongo drums.
The kettle drums. There's drums of some description.
Well, he keeps on talking about silverware. No. Good on him. You know, and he'll be around. But he talks about by the next contract comes up. He reckons if he doesn't see himself being the guy who can take the team to a premiership, then he will step down. So he keeps on talking about silverware. And he talks about, you know, it's not about the finals of this year or next year. It's about silverware.
Yes.
So he doesn't care if we go from 13th to 1st, as long as we, you know,
win it. You don't lose the premiership.
Yeah, okay. So he's not too fussed about that.
Well, his stocks are pretty high. Like, his price would still be high if he left now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two vacant jobs waiting there for him if he wants them. Like, he'd be first cab off the rank easily.
Yeah, for sure. Well, they talked about during the week about the Sydney chairman, I believe it was, talked about Dylan Longmire saying that he was going to stay. And he made a delightful metaphor, something along the lines of, you know, if you're in a marina and you see a boat you like, you can't just have that boat. Which is a very Sydney...
I'm the same. I often go down in St Kilda Marina and just look at boats and go, I wish I could have that boat. But I suppose I can't take it.
What sort of boat would Clarko be?
Boat terminology.
Little fucking angry boat.
What are boats? I don't know.
A little runabout, little tinny.
The one that
sneaks up behind you and fucking gives you a punch in the jaw and knocks you out. One of those boats, whatever those boats are.
So what's Richo then? Are the Saints, is that the one that sank during the America's Cup?
Yeah, that was.
People got aboard very quickly. So anyway, you guys went last night.
Yes, we went to Marvel Stadium where there was we didn't get to see any behavioural awareness officers.
No.
They were walking around though, weren't they? Did you feel like you were spied on when you were... Because, I mean, there have been lots of comments over
I was hovering over your shoulder.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yes. So we were in the... we weren't in the outer. We were in the Carlton and United Breweries box.
Wow.
Because we are doing... You're doing very well.
How do you end up in there?
Well, they sponsor Front Bar.
Yeah,
gotcha.
So Paul and I work on the Front Bar. So they sponsor it. And so they gave us access to the box. You know, Croc Media, they have a double-sized box that was next to it.
Really?
Yeah. Andreas Everett was in there, the former Carlton, Gold Coast, and who else did he play for?
Sydney?
Footscray.
Dogs?
Was it Sydney? Yeah. No, it was
Footscray, yeah.
Yeah.
So who else did you spot in the Croc Media box before we get to your adventure?
I don't know. There didn't seem to be anyone famous in there.
No,
was
you know,
I didn't even know it was there. No. I wasn't even looking.
Okay, yeah, gotcha. So you stroll into the Carlton United Brewers box. What kind of layout have they got for you?
Was it like three seats on either side? Two rows of three seats, and then that was it, which I thought was small. It was kind of a small box, wasn't it, compared to the MCG ones?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No toilet in there, Mike. We had to leave the box.
Savages.
Yeah, and walk down to a toilet that other people could access.
What kind of food? I mentioned it's Carlton beer, what kind of food
you got going? Rosie was ordering Tui's, but it didn't go down too well.
I brought in a block of Tui bread. You can't get it anymore. I've had that since the 80s.
What kind of food were we talking about there?
The food wasn't bad.
Yeah. I thought it was really good.
It was pretty good.
It's like a zucchini bake. Yeah. The meat was good.
Yeah, there was some beef and some chicken and...
Yeah.
Pumpkin, roast pumpkin, I remember that.
They had Nat Fife's Pirate Life beer was in there.
Did they really?
Yeah, because obviously Carlton bought that out.
Yeah.
So that was up for grabs. That's like 6.8%. That's fucking knocky on your
I didn't know that.
Copper.
Some people.
I stuck into that. I was sitting on the Coronas, going nowhere.
So what was Rosie's behaviour during the game, Kalege?
Because
what, you Blues were about 30-odd points down in that
twice
last
time? We were 34 points down.
Yeah, so midway through last... Quarter?
What's that?
Midway through last, you were about 30-odd down.
Oh, 34 points to with, I think, 9 minutes to go.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was standard Rosie behaviour. You could see at the beginning of the game, he was trying to, you know, check himself and worry about the people around him. But by the last quarter...
Unleashed.
I'd given up, though.
Surprised he didn't punch a hole in the glass at the front of the box. He was like... He dropped a lot of expletives by the end of it.
What did you think of that free kick in the last 10 seconds or so?
I thought it was fucking bullshit.
Yeah, it was there though. It was there.
Was it?
Yeah, it was there.
I watched the replay and I think it was there.
Yeah, it was there.
I think it was there.
Yeah, he wasn't crashed down low enough for it to not be there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I swung wildly because we, you know, when we're 34 points down in the last, you're like, oh, well, it's all over. Then we got a goal and you're like, oh, well, consolation. Then another one. And then we were like within 9 points. You're like, fucking hell. But everyone was watching myself and Andy Maher to try and get stuck into us.
Yep,
yeah, gotcha. It was the same sort of arrogance that Carlton supporters displayed when they were good, when they were a good team. It still comes out now. I don't know where it comes from. So
you would have seen a lot of that as a St Kilda supporter in the 80s. Did Carlton play at Moorabbin a lot?
I saw a few games. I remember seeing Lockett kicked 10 on Silvani.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Lockett kick. You know, I didn't see him kick less than 10. I said, you go there 1 week, it'd be 12, it'd be 15 the next week. I'll never forget the Crows played their first, I think they played their first Melbourne game at Moorabbin.
Yeah.
So their first game was at
Footy Park. Yeah, smashed the Hawks.
Yeah, and then they came and they realised what, you know, Victorian suburban local footy was all about. And we just completely poleaxed them. It was so much fun to watch. Lockett kicked about 12, might have been 15. I'm like, I lost count, but it was, yeah, Moorabbin. So much fun.
Did you have a reserve membership, or did you just go and buy a ticket each time you rocked up?
I was going to say, yeah, did you have a spot that you stood in?
Yeah, I just had like a, you know, what is it, 23 game membership, and I just get the little clip taken out of it and just stand in the outer.
Mm-hmm.
I love being around opposition fans. It was just a lot of fun in those days. So yeah. But I didn't, was there, did they have members in those days? I don't even know. That is a grandstand there of some description.
You didn't follow Lockett from end to end or anything?
No, it's too lazy to move.
Because they talk about it being one of the rougher grounds going around. Do you have any memories of kind of the roughness of the crowd?
Yeah, but I was like the opposite side to the...
Wasn't that the animal enclosure? Yeah,
I was on the other side to that, because I think my father never let me go over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a wise man.
Better for it.
Yes.
And you got to play Little League, didn't you?
Yeah, I played, because I grew up in Frankston, I played Little League for Hawthorn at Princess Park. And we played one game. They just pick a different local team every week. So I played one game.
So it wasn't the primary school. It was your local footy team that played.
Yeah.
And, what team was that?
Frankston YCW, the Mighty Stoners. We were called the Stoners. So you got kids running around going, "Go Stoners!"
Stoners.
Yeah, which is Frankstone. a very Frankston nickname. It just came from Frankstone.
It's very strange. And so when they tell you that you're going to be that. The club playing Little Leagues, that would have been exciting.
Mate, it was huge. As a massive footy fan, as a kid, it was the biggest thing. And we're in the Hawthorn change rooms. Everyone's trying to get Lee Matthews' jumper. And we were looking at all the lockers with their names on it and stuff. I had some, I don't know, I think I had number 18 or something, which is, I didn't even know who that was at the time.
And so you would have come out of the ground, you would have played on the full ground, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full ground, the whole ground.
And it would have been packed. So this is in the 70s?
Yeah, chockers.
Yeah.
It was chockers.
Do you know who Hawthorn were playing?
I think we were playing Fitzroy, and I think we won. I got one touch.
Yeah.
Right? I was on the wing. I kicked the ball off the ground. That was my only touch. And I said, I got one touch. Kicked the ball off the ground. This guy leans over the fence and goes, "You should be playing soccer, you fucking wog."
Just to a child.
Mate, where were the behavioural awareness officers then? That's what I want to know.
Make him cry.
Oh, fuck.
Dude.
But yeah, it went overboard last night, didn't it, at the footy? They had guys wearing, if you're not from Melbourne and you haven't seen it, they had
kind of high-vis tops.
Vests on, high-vis, that said Behavioural Awareness Officers on the back.
Yeah.
And then had a number you could text, so that's the number that usually flashes up on the screen.
And there's a lot of footage of people walking up and down aisles.
Yeah,
I mean, the main thing I got from the weekend was Nat Edwards on Friday night, Saturday morning maybe, who talked about that she felt that they were being watched or spied on and felt it was a very weird atmosphere on the Friday night game.
Yeah.
But there was a guy, a Hawthorn Chiswick guy, got told on Friday night to kind of calm down after shouting about a holding the man decision. He says, you know, that he wasn't saying anything.
So we're not allowed to yell now, is that what it is?
Well, it seems to be that, yeah. Like, that seems to be the crackdown. And then the AFL says there's no crackdown. And then, sadly, worst of all, Joffa says he's going to boycott football.
Yeah. It's,
darkest day in Australia. That is, sport. Yeah. So Joffa says he's going to boycott until Gil McLaughlin apologises to the AFL fans.
Yeah. You notice Joffa does that in the week that Collingwood's got the bye. Put your fucking money where your mouth is, Joffa. I bet he fucking goes this week and pretends that, you know, he's had
a one-on-one. Yeah.
And there were Carlton people there last night with tape over their mouths.
Yeah, yeah.
Like people making statements and stuff.
Yeah.
Yelling's not the issue. Yelling's not, to me, that's not the biggest behavioural issue we have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let people yell out. Kick out the guys that in front of you who stand up when someone's having a shot for goal to go to the toilet. They're the guys that should be thrown out. That little kid with the flag waving it in front of your face.
Oh, yeah, fuck anyone with the flag.
Get that kid out.
Yeah.
They're the trouble.
All the people punching on after the final siren. Seems to be a theme this year as well.
Right. Yeah, it's really, and there was one last night as well.
Yeah.
But again, you can't, that's a completely different.
Yes, no one's condoning that.
Wow.
No one's condoning that. Okay, so
we all right, look, the fight, funnily enough, went just like the game. Like, the Bulldogs guy got the first few punches in, and the Carlton guy came back, and the Bulldogs guy got on top again, and the Carlton guy came with a late flurry.
But, Bulldogs got one.
Yeah, not in time.
So there's Flogman, okay. So Flogman last week called Nichols the umpire a bald-headed flog. Okay. Now, Paul, as a flog,
yes.
Are you offended by that?
I'm quite qualified to talk about this. Come on.
The thing about that is that it became a bigger story because they made a big issue of it.
Yes.
Like, if they'd have just said, mate, fuck, like, don't say that again. It would have been nothing of it. But this guy, Frankie, because I heard him on 3AW last week after the game talking to them, and he's going to sue the AFL.
Well, he's called up the lawyers, right? So Gill on the week, during the week, he talked about his version of events, the report that he got, was that the guy ran from two bays away to yell at Nichols, and Nichols felt as threatened as he'd ever felt coming off the ground, right? And so then Frankie got
how,
on the...
How threatened would he have felt? Like, honestly, you're walking off a ground.
Yeah,
you
he's 30 metres away.
I'm about to die.
Yeah.
I'm going to die here. Get him out of the ground. And he's called me a boy. He's run two bays.
Yeah.
How has he seen him run over two bays? Like, has he kept his eye on him?
Well, that's the thing. Frankie was saying that he wanted the footage. You know, they own the ground. Therefore, they should have footage of him running the two bays. He reckons he didn't run the two bays. He reckons he has a hand in his pocket and another hand on the radio. See, some people take the radio to the game, Adam.
Fucking
okay,
idiots.
They're not weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whoa.
And so he wants...
Chambo does.
He wants...
Really?
He takes a radio.
Take a transistor. Not a radio. I'm not like fucking got a radio on my shoulder.
Do they still make them?
Earpieces.
I didn't know they still make transistors.
It's because I can't fucking see. I want to see who's got the ball.
What's the point of being there then if you can't see? Like,
mate, he's in the members. He's
you
just
fucking bald headed flog.
He just goes to be seen.
So Frankie's now saying that he might sue because he contacted the lawyers because he reckons Gill didn't say that. Mm. And then also he had the thing where the AFL said that they gave him a warning, and then he said, "I never got the warning."
Is that right?
Mm. So a lot of stories aren't adding up.
Well, see, Frankie, this is what the lawyer says, that Frankie has turned up at home in tears and he's worried about returning to work or whether he can go to the footy again.
Really?
So they've ruined his life.
His life's over.
Yeah, and he's got a heavily pregnant wife and that's, been really tough on her.
Tough on her, yeah. But, I mean, you do say that quote, worried about going to the footy. He went last night. Okay?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it's all fine.
He seemed to be okay.
But, I think last night's loss would have been more traumatic than the rest of what he's had to go through.
Oh, Jesus. And then wasn't there a Collingwood supporter who
he got
told to be quiet last week?
He was in the paper last week on the Queen's birthday match, I think, for barracking too loudly.
Yeah.
Okay. He said the police reaction was heavy-handed and he was totally agar against abusive language. So he gave an example on 3AW Radio. There's a quote here. They said, you know, probably something along the lines of, you know, how do you support at the footy? And he said, "Let's go, Woody." And that's it. So he doesn't like swearing. He said he kind of got told off it. And people around him as well also kind of said, you know, he wasn't doing anything wrong. And there was about five or six policemen who came down to tell him, you know, to be quiet.
I think we're missing something here. Is anyone called Collingwood Woody?
Would that be a player? Is there a Wood at Collingwood? Because I was thinking that as well.
No, I don't think there is a Wood at the moment.
No, not anymore, anyway.
I can't think of a Wood at the minute,
I've never heard anyone call Collingwood Woody.
Woody. Yeah, okay.
Fucking, he's an idiot. I'd kick him out for that.
Already.
Yeah, mate, you're an embarrassment.
Not checking out. But I do love the idea that the Age has delved into his social media just by the fact they have a picture, they have a video of him from last year's prelim, I believe it is.
And social media always brings people undone.
It really does, doesn't it? Yeah.
You'll get found out. Yeah. You'll get found out.
And I'm quoting these words. He says, "I don't like swearing at the football."
Good.
And there's a picture of him, a video of him and his mate at that game. And I quote, "Fuck you, you fucking cunts, let's go." And the caption was, "Fuck these cunts."
Oh, they've misread that.
And then they got onto his social media.
They've taken that out of context.
They got onto his Twitter, and I looked up his Twitter as well, and it's been made private. So it would have been fantastic to go through. But here's a little taste of it. "The people of France are the most rude and arrogant people I've ever come across. I wish I had a few of my boys with me. We could punch the cunt out of a few of those peasant pigs."
but he wasn't yelling at Michael, and I think that's the difference.
So, you know, I'm glad he enjoyed his overseas trip.
I think we just
don't go back to Disneyland next time, okay?
Oh, mate, if they're going to be peasant pigs,
peasant pigs.
You're asking to have the cunt punched out of them.
Commissioner Gordon isn't a happy Adam.
What about?
Yeah, Commissioner Gordon over the president of Footscray.
Mm.
He talks about the gambling and it's insidious and it's getting infected into the world of the kids. By the fact he says, you know, kids are now able to tell you, you know, what the odds are, what the spread is. And
that's great. That means you don't have to open up the papers if your kids can tell you. How handy is that?
That's like anything. The more information, the better.
Which means that, well, that, I suppose they kind of, we'll maybe do another ad if that's okay for our organisation, JunkBet,
yes,
which we established last week.
Yeah.
And we just want to say to all those people out there, you know, people worried about the kids being too involved in the gambling,
yep,
in that we actually are catering our company to children.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We don't require background checks. We don't need proof of age. No. If you want to open up a betting account with JunkBet, you just fucking, we'll take anyone's money.
Come on in. Yeah. And actually, we're doing educational speeches in schools
this is
and kindergartens about how they can get onto JunkBet.
Yeah. What kids, if a kid had a choice between a Dolomite account and a JunkBet account.
I was about to say, we're pretty much the Dolomite account for betting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The kids love a JunkMite.
And all we're doing.
It comes in a, you get a cute little, what's our mascot again?
Junkie the Bear.
Mate, and what a great way for kids to set themselves up for the future for their education.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mate, if you can pay for your university when you're in grade four.
Yeah, mate, yeah.
Yeah, no hex debt. There's no hex debt
exactly,
for those kids.
Yeah.
I mean, what kid doesn't want to own a speedboat when they're 10? Hey, where'd you get that jet ski? JunkBet.
Exactly. I loaded up on the weekend. Oh, what?
What a multi. Yeah.
So get on board JunkBet, everyone. And especially if you've got kids, let them know. You thinking of travelling anytime soon, Michael?
Well, I do love Perth Airport, so I do plan to go there very shortly.
Well, Melbourne Airport is opening up its own AFL-themed bar.
That's awesome.
Whoa.
The AFL Kitchen and Bar. It's going to be at the Melbourne Airport. It's going to be in Terminal 3 where they have Virgin flights. I don't know where that is because I'm Qantas business.
Yeah, very well. Yeah, no, that's cool.
You plebs might be down Terminal 4 when you fly Tiger. Tiger's a bad airline, Adam. It's a really, really bad airline.
It's really bad.
They're going to open up the AFL Kitchen and Bar, which will also feature appearances by players, special marketing events, and media conferences by coaches.
So you know what those what? Two there, appearances by players and media conference by coaches?
Yeah.
Because they fly Virgin.
I was about to say.
So they're like, going to be on their way through. They're not an appearance.
They're not coming to the airport to do a fucking speech. It's like, because Clarko often does them just in the terminal there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it seems to like them better by the fact that you kind of can get out of there quicker.
Yeah.
And so they show up at the airport. Yeah. And they'll just go and move them into that bar area.
Yeah, Patrick Dangerfield's not leaving Moggs Creek.
No, to come to Tullamarine.
To make an appearance.
They'll just be buying some food there. What sort of food will it be? I assume like the, well, Matt, you think the food's fully expensive at the footy, imagine how expensive it'll be at the airport.
The airport. With
so what would it be?
$25 for a hot dog.
Pies, hot dogs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was trying to think.
Old fish and chips.
Well, I was thinking rocket salad. You could have that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so themed.
Yeah.
Oh,
The only thing I can was Jed Lamb salad or something. I didn't have much more than that.
Yeah. But you got to be careful because there'll be behavioral awareness officers in there watching your every move.
You're munching too loud, mate. Keep your mouth closed when you're chewing.
So the idea is that they say that we believe this concept will be the first of its kind in any airport around the world. This is so much more than a bar. So it's not just a bar. Patrons will be able to watch live and classic matches on big screens, while the venue will offer stunning views of the airfield.
Oh, yeah, awesome. So you got Fox Footy on, okay?
Yeah, that's all you've got on.
You got Fox Footy on during the summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Just classic matches.
Yeah, and it's just so bizarre. It's like, wouldn't the bars in there anyway? Like, you know, when you're in the international one, you go to that weird Irish bar that's in there. They got Fox Footy on.
Mm-hmm.
Like most bars have cable TV on.
Yeah, sure.
Go, mate, can you put the footy on?
Yeah.
You go, no, we can't. You got to go to the AFL bar for that.
I do love this idea though. Like, I'm fucking going there. Like, every time I go to the airport, I'm going to go to the kitchen and bar.
Oh, I'm not even going to. I'm not even going to get a flight.
Because I'm going to see appearances from coaches and players.
I'm just going to go there on a Saturday night. Like, I'll be like, what do you want to do? And
yeah, sure.
Like, oh, do you want to go
get the
city?
Sky bus?
No, yeah, exactly. And just head out there and go, fuck, I better go home. Last Sky bus is about to leave.
I'm glad they've got views of the
stunning views.
The plane.
Yeah,
the plane's landing.
That's
for the St Kilda and Carlton fans, because when the games are so bad, they've got something else to watch.
But that just views of the airfield, it just means you can get that from the fucking departure gate.
You can, No, you can. No, they're putting a high level of spin into this. But they also say it's under construction already. So if anybody going to the, I haven't been to the airport. Oh, actually, I've been to the airport in 2 weeks. So I want to go and check it out and see where it, what they're up to at this stage.
Well, it's due to be open in November. So it's hopefully you can get there for the draft.
Yeah, gotcha. And also the idea that it's the first one in the world too. I find that interesting as well, that there aren't kind of NFL bars or, you know, EPL bars anywhere around the country.
Well, I guess they just have.
Well, I can't believe there's an AFL bar at Singapore Airport, for example. You know,
that's a good point.
I can't believe it's the first
Shanghai.
In the world.
Yeah, there probably is one in Shanghai.
Yeah, Townsville. I mean, the next stop is to get an AFL shop at the airport.
Why didn't they move? Remember the AFL, what was that, interactive museum thing? What was that called? They tried to incorporate it into the Hall of Fame.
That's right, yeah.
And that was located in the city, in the Swanston Street,
Queen
perhaps?
Queen Vic Building or something?
Yes.
Was it? Yeah, we went there, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we did. Because we went to see, because we were working on Before the Game at the time, and they said, go along and see if you can find anything
to have fun with. It went under pretty quickly, didn't it?
Oh, mate, it was awful. Mate,
it went under halfway through our visit, I think. They closed it. They closed us and threw us out.
What did they have there?
So there's a little bit of Hall of Famey stuff.
Yeah, which they probably moved to the MCG.
Memorabilia
now.
And then a lot of interactive things that you could do for the kids. So you take the kids there and do it.
Sure. So handball through a hole or.
Remember the goal kick? That was really probably the best one.
That was the best thing, the goal kick.
So you could be kicking for the final kick to win the game after the siren.
Yep.
And so you'd be in the net, almost like a cricket net, and you'd kick at a
goal. Oh, well, they've got that at the Hall of Fame museum now, too. Yeah.
It was like a virtual golf.
Yep.
Sort of thing.
But the worst one was you could press a button on this machine and you could join in and sing the theme songs with the team.
Oh, really?
And that was just like, what the fuck is that? I could just sing that in the car if I want. I don't need to come here to do that.
So it's just people playing the Giant song the whole time.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, if you thought karaoke nights were bad, this was like the worst thing ever.
It was really shit. It went under really quickly too.
Didn't
Gil have a hand in that?
I think him and his brother were the ones that set
that up. I feel
like
Hamish did. Yeah, I'm not sure if Gil did, but I feel like Hamish might have had something to do with it.
And then that's when the AFL went, you should run the whole league.
You've done a great job. A bit of a sad story this week out of Geelong, Michael. Joel Selwood has had his engagement ruined.
What? Ruined.
Ruined, Kalij, by a diamond dealer. So Joel purchased a $66,000 ring for his partner, Britt. And he proposed to Britt, got down on one knee. Umpire gave him a free kick.
That's very funny for you.
Thank you, mate. He needed to get the ring resized, so he gave it back to the diamond dealer. Never got it back.
Yeah, he should have gone to Diamond Guys on SCN.
Yeah.
For men who love women who love diamonds.
Yeah. Perfect. Or go to Cash Converters. They do,
they get some really good deals at Cash Converters.
Yeah. I remember seeing an ad for Cash Converters saying that they do engagement rings. Now, if you get your engagement ring from Cash Converters, I'm going to say that's not going to be a long fucking engagement.
There's a great comic, Chris Addison, years ago had a joke about Zamels. And, if someone chuck a brick through the window of Zamos and took all the jewelry out of it overnight, the manager would rock up in the morning and be like, fuck, that window costs $50.
But it's, I mean, if a bad ring, or if you got the wrong ring, if that's ruined, your engagement, what's that saying about the relationship?
Well, no, he needs to get it resized, and we're not quite sure what's happened. I think it might be before the courts or something around that. But it seemed to be that they didn't give the ring back. Maybe it got misplaced or...
Yeah.
Maybe sold again, I'm not totally sure. And so he wants compo for the ring, got $6,000, and he wants the whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah, I would want the other 60,000.
I think you'd want that, yeah. But also the interesting thing, if the general rule, if people leave this stuff, that it's a 3-month salary when you buy an engagement ring, Joel is a fucking cheapskate. $60,000, 3 months, okay? So $20,000 a month, $240,000 a year.
Yep.
Joel, you're not making $240,000 a year, okay, man? You're on eight. You're surely on eight.
I think so.
And then the gravy on top of that.
Yeah, I agree.
So come on, Joel, mate.
I think Joel's ruined the engagement.
Yeah.
By being a tight ass.
I think he was like telling Britt, This is a $250,000 ring, and then he's like, "Oh fuck, it's in the paper, $60,000." Shit.
He hired a photographer for the night as well.
Really, for his engagement?
Yeah, yeah. What? So they're sitting there having dinner, and then
all of a sudden the paparazzi shows up.
Britt's there. They're going, "That guy over there with the long telephoto lens. What's he doing?" Ah, nothing.
Is that true? That's amazing.
Yes. Oh, mate, he went all out, and so that's how it was. Even more, it was ruined.
So the photographer captured the angry look on her face when she saw the ring. It was not what she was supposed to get.
It was cheap and didn't fit.
Mate, that doesn't sound good for them. Like if the tiniest thing goes wrong at the wedding, it could be all over.
Yeah.
We asked for a 4-tiered cake. It's 3-tiered.
Yeah.
All
over. Everyone go home.
We should hire a photographer for the wedding.
We should go
to the
wedding.
Just have someone there. Yeah. Cool. We can work in the kitchen.
Yep.
Again, I'm bad news. I don't want to make it, bad news all the time here.
Mm.
Sydney Stack. Is that one of the worst things you've ever seen on a football field?
I didn't have an issue with it at all.
I think you should be banned from football.
Play along, Kalij.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
When he went up to high-five Eddie Betts after Eddie kicked that miraculous goal. We can't say that kind of stuff on the field, can we?
Well, you've got to hate the opposition.
Yeah.
And if you, even for a moment, let your guard down, I would say that Damien Hardwick would be ruining the fact that that young man stayed at his house.
Yeah, yeah.
He's sullied the household.
Yeah, I feel bad for Mrs. Hardwick, actually.
Oh, and he's met his kids. She's cooked for him.
Yeah.
And he goes around high-fiving Eddie Betts. Wasn't welcome, that fucking good a goal? Like,
welcomed,
it was a good goal.
Welcomed him into their home.
Mm. Arms around him. They got around him.
What, 3-4 kids, maybe?
Yeah.
Bring in Sydney Stack, mm-hmm. you know, kind of
throw him a
look
lifeline.
After him. Yeah, yeah. yeah. Could probably get a lift of training from Mr. Hardwick.
Yeah, he would. Well, at least he'd be there on time.
And then bloody pulls this shit in round 13, hey?
Unbelievable.
Eddie Betts and high-fiving
him. Yeah, I'm on board. He shouldn't have high-fived him. He should have given him a kidney punch.
Well, I thought it could have been a sucker punch. Like, could have been just like, aha, you got me. Yeah. Quick high-five. Left. Left Bush to the face.
What if he pinched him repeatedly?
Yeah, I'm not against that. Yeah. The main gist is that, if you don't know the story, the idea that Eddie Betts kicked the goal, right foot boundary, went through, quite remarkable. Sydney Stack went up to him, and they mucked around by the fact that Sydney was saying, no special goals today, Eddie, no special goals.
Because he was playing
no
on him,
no special goals. And then Eddie got one, and he just said, hey, man, the old ball still got it, hey?
Yeah. In which case, Stack should have said, all right, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
It was a fluke.
Stomped
his
foot. You'll
be able to do it
again. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop.
Need him in the balls.
Yeah, yeah.
Go kick one of those through the fucking goal.
I think it's time. I think the AFL community, I think we can all accept, like, it's time Eddie gets what's his.
He's had it coming for a long time, mate. He's had it too good for too long. He's got a pocket named after him. I don't like that.
Hey, do you want to do some footballers in real life, folks?
Yes.
We've got a few here. This one from, going to read out from Peter. I'm currently on holiday. Oh, here we go. I'm currently on holiday staying in one of the luxury villas in Seminyak, Bali. Speak of the devil, Bali. Mm. Where I just proposed to my girlfriend.
Oh, here we go.
She said yes.
Fantastic. I can get him a cheap ring.
Yeah, please. Don't try and get it resized. Also, what do you pay for it?
Yeah. If you got it, mate, you got it in a Bali market.
To be bartered to get it down.
Yeah.
We had just finished having breakfast when I spotted Wayne Carey walking in on the street with another guy who I didn't recognize. I believe they had just had breakfast at Coup d'Etat, which is one of the fancier beachside establishments in the area. I'm doing okay for myself, so I did have a meal or two there too.
Did you go to Coup d'Etat when you were there?
Not that I remember, no. No.
I did.
What was that? Was that a...
It's just like a beachside bar kind of thing.
So was I there?
No, I don't think you came either.
You said that in like kind of like a, did anyone see me there? Like, should I have not been there?
I can't remember any of the names of the places we went to be honest.
But. Wayne was wearing running shorts, no shirt. Oh, and had one of those satchel type bags, often known to real men as handbags. He was very sweaty, as we all are in this humidity, and he still looks pretty fit. He does look pretty fit, Doug. Yeah. Much fitter than his mate. I was going to stop and say hi, but since I was with my new fiance and Kerry's history, I thought better of it. I can only think he may have been going to one of Ricky Olerenshaw's massage places. I don't know. Ricky had a couple of them. Does he have a couple of them?
I did not know that. But I like the idea that Ricky's gone from footballer to player manager to Balinese massage.
And here we go. Peter says, love the show, guys. I'm having a bing dang for you.
There you go. And he says it may or may not have made up this bit about his destination.
He should have used Wayne Carey as part of the engagement. You know, get Kerry to be the ring bearer. Get Kerry to bring the ring over. That would have made it really exciting.
How good would that be? Yeah.
That's true. Hire a photographer.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Will you be my wife? And then the duck.
The
comes
duck
over.
Strolls over.
Yeah, these, that's all right. What's in the satchel?
With these man bag.
What's in your man bag?
Here we go from Dan. Last week I had a story about Andrew Embley going to the West Coast Eagles merch shop and having to pay. Which we thought was pretty outrageous.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no staff former player discount or
anything. No, we thought that's quite remarkable. Yeah. Here we go from Dan. There I was visiting Moorabbin for the first time as an interstate long-suffering Saints fan, and the players had just finished training. I walked into the merch shop and am followed in by none other than Tim Membry, who walks around checking out the prices on the jackets and cold weather gear. I imagine that players could just ask the boot starter to grab one for them and magically appear in their locker. In brackets, even though the Saints aren't, as you say, are doing very well financially.
Yeah, that is weird. I would have assumed that whatever you wanted, you just went and grabbed.
Yeah.
As a player. Now, I don't think we've told this story on the potty. Last year when I was in hospital, Khalid went to the Carlton shop and bought me a Carlton Guernsey, the grey one, the shit one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
and got it signed by
Brendan Bolton. He happened to be there.
Really?
Yeah. So I thought he was in, Rosie was in hospital. He wasn't well, nearly dying. And I thought here's a good time to get him a bit of a joke present. So I, and OptiSave or whatever it's called now is down the road. So I went in there, grabbed the jumper. The grey one was on special too, which was a bonus.
Mm, sure.
See, well, we better let Joel Selwood know. There was a discount. And Brendan Bolton's there. And I go, can you sign this jumper for my mate who's sick in hospital?
What, working behind the counter? Like, what was he? He was just hanging out?
Yeah, well, he probably is now. And then and he said to me, he goes, what, why are you getting one of these grey ones? I explained to him and he was in on the joke and he signed it. And I turned up to hospital to give it to Rosie.
And he had a relapse.
Well, he wasn't in his room. He wasn't in his room at the time. And I thought I'd missed him. I thought he was gone.
Yeah.
So I just ceremoniously just laid it on his bed. It was a present. We met when he came in with a present. And he just threw it. He just threw it.
Wow, yeah, yeah.
I came Hawthorn Bear.
I came in with my Hawthorn Bear. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and he threw it on the ground.
Yeah, but you made sure you bought the cheaper Hawthorn Bear because you knew what was going to happen.
Well, yeah. Also, yeah, there's like, I think there was like a $50 one and a $25 one. And I was like, oh, I don't like him that much. And I know it's not going to be like, you don't have it, do you now?
I do.
Oh, do you?
I do still have it. I was actually looking at it the other day. I should give it to a child who barracks for Hawthorn. Or do you want it back?
Oh, fuck, man. Okay, yeah, just I dare you. Just randomly walk up to a child in a Hawthorn jumper or something and just say, here you go, have a beer.
Done.
See how that plays.
All right, done.
I think the behavioral awareness officers will be right onto you. Are you guys into that thing of, I was thinking about this the other day.
Here we go, you're not bringing this up again, are you?
No, like funeral, like playing your team song on the way out and stuff like that. Are you into that kind of stuff?
I've actually never thought that far ahead.
Yeah.
No, I just think team songs don't suit every occasion. They suit the team running out. That was the funniest thing about watching the footage of the Carlton Bulldogs fight was that the Bulldogs theme song was going because it was the end of the game. Guys are punching on. Yeah, so that... I'm not for that.
Would you play the Hawthorn one?
I don't think I would.
Would you have a Hawthorn jumper draped over your coffin?
Well, I mean, it's... I don't know if you can play it at Westminster Abbey. But they, I don't know. I think you're right, Cleese. They don't quite fit, do they?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But, you know, diehards would do that, wouldn't they?
Oh, it would happen all the time.
I've been to funerals where it's happened, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't think I've been to one where they've actually played it, but yeah.
If you did, do you go up and drown the coffin in Gatorade? as it's been lowered into the grave?
Well, you got to be respectful. Don't you do that every funeral? Yeah. Get around them. Okay, here we go. So this is the football in real life flashback, I suppose.
Yeah, I like it.
From Hugh. The year was 1989. I'd left the beautiful city of Adelaide to work in Melbourne for a couple of years. I lived in Carlton at the time and one Saturday morning decided to take a walk along Lygon Street. Lovely spot. As I proceeded down the strip, I saw a thick-set, balding man leaning up against the shopfront.
Mm.
As he fixed me with his steely blue eyes, I realised it was none other than Alex Jeselenko. His look said, "What the fuck are you looking at?" But I was unable to break the gaze of the great man. The history books will tell us that around the time Jezza returned to Carlton as caretaker coach after Robert Wallace was sacked. That's right, that was in 1989.
It's weird that you think, like, the players living around that area. Like, do you think that... because St Kilda wasn't St Kilda, it was Moorabbin, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, do you think Trevor... did Trevor Barker live out in Moorabbin?
I doubt it. He was probably in Hampton or Sandy. I think it was Sandy.
Oh, Brighton even. Yeah,
maybe
okay.
Brighton. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no...
because no one really lives... that's why everyone hated going to Seaford, didn't they?
Oh, they hated it. And we're still there, apparently. I think... that's why we haven't got any money. We're running two venues at the one time.
Yeah, because you've got Moorabbin and Seaford, don't you?
Yeah. I don't know. I still don't get how that worked. How do we spend millions of dollars developing this thing in Seaford and then 3 years later...
just realise it was fucked.
Yeah, the AFL give us money to set Moorabbin up again. Like,
do you have any memories of Junction Oval?
No. Not at all. That was before my time.
Any memories of Lakeside Oval?
Yeah, I remember going there, but it may have been for like an Army Reserve Cup game.
Yeah, sure.
I've got no memories of Glenferrie Oval at all either.
Yeah, okay. I think we left there at 72, so yeah. That might have been a bit before your time.
I remember my father would never take me to grounds that were just like too packed where you couldn't see. He never took me to...
Windy Hill would have been too far for you, wouldn't it?
Well, no, because Dad was an Essendon supporter, so I went to Windy Hill a fair bit.
Oh, okay.
That's
a long hike from
Frankston. It was tough. It was really tough. But That's why he made a spray for St Kilda, because it was the closest ground. Moorabbin was the closest ground to Frankston.
Well, even Waverley would have been. Even Waverley would have been a.
Yeah, we were members at Waverley.
Yeah.
So he put us down when it first came about, and so we'd go there a lot.
Yeah.
That was pretty close.
Here's one from. This is actually a bit interesting one from. Here we go from at Delvis underscore the. On Twitter. Strolling down the bathroom fixtures aisle of Bunnings South Oakley, I spotted a tall, fit-looking Jakey Carlisle.
Mm.
Had the old Snapchat out. Pushing a pram with what I guess was his son in it while humming along to Van Morrison's Brown-Eyed Girl. After a few minutes of decision-making, he went with a chrome double shower head system with easy slide rough for adjustable height. Great detail there. Thank you, Elvis. That's very kind of you. Hey, we talked about a little bit earlier... a few weeks ago about, it was Christian from AFL Switzerland.
Yes.
He came and did a bit of a chat with us back in about April, I suppose. Check out the archives of that one. So here we got a little kind of international footballers in real life. This one is from...
Sebastian.
Sebastian, yeah. And it says, having travelled to Amsterdam back in April with my local footy club, the Hamburg Dockers... In brackets, yes, I'm doing very well for myself. And after listening to your episode of The Christian from the AFL Switzerland a few weeks back, I realised that I had met an AFL Europe footballer in real life, as he was the guy I was actually playing on at the opening game of our tournament against the Winterthur Lions.
Oh, that's cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He talks about how it was a great day of entertainment. They have nice meat pies over in AFL Amsterdam.
Yeah, so we're saying a better quality than the ones we have here. Because I guess they would almost be like homemade, wouldn't they? Because pies probably wouldn't be in mass production over there the way they are here.
You'd reckon, yeah, they'd be kind of
like bakery, like
bakery pies. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, it wouldn't be too hard to make them better than the ones we have here, let's be honest.
And unfortunately, there is no chicken salt at the AFL Europe competition.
It's pretty disgusting.
Here we go.
That hurts.
Here's a little tip, though. It should be noted that Jack Watts' famous... Weizenpulver is actually pronounced Wesen.
Wesen.
Wesen?
Wesen.
Yeah, Wesen. Okay. Wesen being the local Bavarian abbreviation for the reason Wesen. I think that might be the way you say it. I'm sure I fucked that up.
Yeah, I don't reckon you
the area say it like where Oktoberfest is held each year. So we were going around, fucking junk time apology right here. We're talking around saying Weizenpulver when it should be Wesenpulver.
Idiots.
Yeah. So egg on our face. Meat pie on our face.
What I found very interesting is he says here that there's so many Dockers teams over in Europe and around the world because Freo Dockers are one of the only teams who supply all their kits and footies to other clubs.
Oh, that's cool of them. Yeah, that's a really good idea. I remember when I played in the British League over there in 1998. We played the Sussex... No, that was Swans, I think. Bristol Dockers, I think we played.
Okay.
Yeah. And I remember I had the ball and a bloke went to tackle me and he kind of bent over to do that classic kind of rugby tackle. And I thought, I'm about to fucking die.
I wonder if that was the same for the Vietnam Swans, that the Hanoi Swans that Tom Liberatore played for.
Oh, yeah.
They got this stuff. So, yeah, so he said they write to a lot of the teams. They don't write back to them, but the Dockers are very open and friendly.
Yeah, good on them.
Yeah, that's a smart way to do it. Like,
yeah, isn't it?
Say Kilda and Porter get travelling over to China to play a whole game. Just send your bloody gear somewhere.
And you've got people wearing it. That sends more questions.
Yeah. What do they got to lose? Yeah. Like, why be stingy on that kind of stuff?
Well, if St Kilda supplied a billion Saints jumpers when they went over, if they took a billion jumpers over there, so every time something was going on in China, like, you know, a little kid making an iPhone, he's wearing a Saints jumper.
Yeah.
How great.
You've got to get that involved. Yeah
exactly.
Yeah.
They're not thinking far enough ahead.
Hey, we're going to hit the road. Thank you very much, Paul Kaleja.
Guys, thanks for having me. That was fun.
Yeah, Junk Time AFLPod on Gmail, on Facebook, on Twitter, and the Gram. Gonna head off. Go Hawks.
Go Blues.
Saints. We'll be right back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.